let's be honest, we've all seen coaching programs that are, the marketing is beefed up and it's quite shiny and it's quite fancy. And then students get in and like they get totally lost, or there's like thousands of people, and those programs are fine, but it's often just that people aren't registering for the right programs at the right time in their business. And so that's like one of my beefs and one of the things I can rant about, of like coaches needing to just qualify their students better for these big programs. And so that's important to me.
You are listening to the Launch Playbook Podcast, the weekly podcast for service-based business owners to discover the starts, stops, and tools of transformation that go into launching their online offers. I'm your host, Sarah Vartanian. And if you want to launch your ideas into the world faster, with more success and less burnout, well, friend, consider this show your secret playbook to get you there. One of the questions I get all the time as a launch strategist and copywriter is, how should I launch this idea? Should we do a slow funnel or a webinar or go evergreen or maybe even run a challenge? And oftentimes folks feel like it has to be this big multi-step process. And I think it's because that's what they see, you know, all those big, let's say, name entrepreneurs doing it, or that there's a worry that if they don't do it with all the bells and whistles, it won't look professional. And hey, big launching can work. But also, launching does not have to be that complicated, especially in your early days. It's totally possible to have a great launch and keep things simple and true to your preferences. And that's why I'm thrilled to be talking to Rebecca Tracy, founder of The Uncaged Life today, who's all about keeping things simple. Rebecca works with coaches and online business owners to get clear on their brand message, create packages that sell, and help them get and keep clients, all while working from home with no pants on. And she also runs a highly engaged online Facebook group of over 14,000 entrepreneurs. Welcome, Rebecca. Thanks for joining us here on the Launch Playbook podcast today.
Yay. Hi. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited you're here, and I can't wait to dig into, well, first, actually, what is the Uncaged Life philosophy? You want to tell us a little bit about that and how you got started?
Yeah. So at the Uncaged Life, I work with coaches primarily, so service-based folks, to help them get clear on the foundations of their business. So I work with really new business owners who are not necessarily launching anything. We'll talk a bit about that. And I started it over a decade ago now. Oh my gosh, it's been ages in the online business world. Yeah, it just came out of wanting to help people do the work that they actually wanted to do. And I saw a lot of my friends were starting businesses either as life coaches or as health coaches. And they were kind of feeling stuck in these places that they had to be. Like I had a lot of health coach friends who were like, I want to be a health coach, but I really don't want to write recipes, but they felt like they had to. And so I did a lot of coaching around just helping them get clear on what they really wanted to do and giving them permission to ditch the rest. And it's kind of transformed into what it is today, teaching more like marketing and business skills.
Amazing. I love how you're saying about, you're basically helping people have that permission slip to let go of all those shoulds.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I've always been good at doing that in my business. So I like helping other people do that too.
And will you tell us a little bit about how you got started? Because I know it involves a camper van.
Yeah, I started my business when I'd been thinking, you know, as we do, thinking about starting a business, and wasn't even sure what that meant or what it looked like for so long. And finally, I was like, you just need to do this. And so I knew that I wanted to build something that would let me work from anywhere and be able to travel and still like, you know, build a career. And so I bought this really crappy old Chevy camper van, this like 81 brown seats. It said on the lamb, gone fishing on the back, and just took off on a year long road trip and built my business doing that. So I'd go rock climbing for a few days, hole up in a Starbucks and get some free Wi-Fi and like write blog posts one or two days a week. Yeah, it was a fun way to get started. I don't know that I'd recommend it. It was definitely challenging, but it was fun to not have the pressure of like, oh my gosh, I have to pay my rent. And oh my gosh, I have to be working every day. It was nice to like kind of do it very part-time while I was on this epic adventure.
I love that. And do you still have the same van?
No, I have a much nicer van now, now that I can afford it.
It kind of reminds me how I got started full-time in my biz. It was not like quite as adventurous, but we had been living in Toronto, and my husband and my kids were pretty little at the time. But we took a year off, moved to a log cabin, like 3 hours north of the city.
So nice.
And when I say a log cabin, like it was really a log cabin. Like it used to be, I guess, like the main lodge of this old time resort in like Haliburton area. It's just like, if you're listening, you're not from Ontario, it's like really,
I know
like,
where that is.
So yeah, nice. You know where it is, even from Toronto area. But it's like, yeah, just like just really quintessential, like cottage country, like lakes and forests and trees. And yeah, like right on the lake, it was so beautiful and it allowed me to take my business full time. It's something that I didn't think I'd ever end up doing because, of course, we were living up there. It was a lot cheaper.
Yeah, that helps when you're starting a business.
Didn't have all the pressures of work. And then we ended up coming back to the city and I was able to leave, like I had been teaching before that. So like officially leave my teaching job. So yeah, when, if you can make it happen, right?
Like, yeah, it sounds similar. When I came back to Toronto after that trip, I was able to stop doing or like cut down the work that I was doing before. Yeah.
It's nice when you can figure out a way to take a break from or change the way things are already going on for you.
Yeah,
in order totally. To make it happen. Okay, so tell us a little bit about what launching looks like for the Uncaged Life.
Yeah, so I love launches. I will say, I know a lot of people that are my colleagues and friends are moving away from launching because it's very stressful. And we just had a year of COVID and we'll talk about those two launches for me because that was very stressful also, but I still love it. So I have one program that I launch. It's called Uncage Your Business and it's like a live group coaching program that I run twice a year. So we do two big launches a year. And I've been launching it for so long that we honestly just rinse and repeat. Like it's very rare that we use a new strategy or like a new tool or a new tech or a new app or a new whatever. Maybe we like added in a messenger bot last year. It didn't really work that well. So we're going to scrap that. But so we keep it pretty simple. We've been using the same launch emails for, I don't know, years, literally years, probably 3 years now. So what we do is, do you want to know like what we actually do for launching?
Like, okay. If you can take us through the steps, yeah. That'd be awesome.
So we do some pre-launch content. So I probably spend about 3 or 4 weeks. I always say I'm going to do 4 weeks and then really it's like 2 weeks. So let's just be honest. It's like probably like 2 weeks before the actual launch, I start going, oh, and I start rolling out content, like, and this is usually old blog posts that I've already written that I just kind of revamp a little bit and then send out to my email list, post to my Facebook group, just sort of content related to what we're going to be launching, like just pure value teaching. So just to prime people, let them know that we have a thing coming up. Mm-hmm. And then my co-coach and I, who coaches in the program with me, we do 5 days of free coaching. So this is pre-launch as well. So you can't even sign up to the program during this week, but we want people to like get onto Zoom with us and let us actually coach them. So we advertise this as like anyone can come, but really it's for people who are like interested in joining, but they're not sure, or they just want to check us out, or they're like, they're not even sure what we're all about. So we do those 5 days of free coaching, which is super fun. And a lot of the people who we end up coaching end up joining the program. So it works really well. And then for the actual launch week, it's just 5 days, cut down from, I think I used to do 2 full weeks, like 14 days, which was way too much. I was like, what do you mean? It's not a problem. And I was like, oh, I'm sending like 100 emails. This is way too long. So now we do 5 days. We start with a webinar. I've been doing the same webinars for a few years also. I'm not a big like sell on the webinar kind of person. So like we don't have bonuses or fast action, anything. It's just the webinar for me is more like, I really want people to watch it. Cause I'm like, if you watch it and you resonate with this, then you're going to love the program and you're going to be a good fit for the program. So it really helps me just weed people out versus being like a massive sales tool where I'm like, what's the conversion? I don't know what the conversion rate is. Like no one ever buys on the webinar for us. It's not that type of thing. And then we just do 5 days of emails. So lots of emails coming out. I have no problem sending lots and lots of emails. I usually go live in my Facebook group a couple times during that week. And then I'm just answering a lot of emails. So I'm like, I'm very active in my launch. It's not like a set it and forget it. And I'm just off on vacation while my team's doing everything. I like to be the one to answer emails, answer our live chats on our website, answer questions in the Facebook group, because I'm running the program live. So it's important to me that people see that I'm actually involved in this, yeah. in the delivery mm-hmm. of the program, as well as in the sales. That's kind of all we do. We do run Facebook ads. So that's kind of a separate piece to all of this. But that's really what our launch strategy has been for the past 2 or 3 years, I would say. It hasn't really changed much.
I love that. So I have a few questions around that. So in order to get to this place where you could rinse and repeat, what did you sort of test along the way? Like, was it always the 5 days of coaching and then the same webinar? Like,
yeah,
what did you experiment with?
What else did we do? I think we've tried like a 3-part video series. We didn't always do the 5 days of coaching. What did we do before that? We've never done a challenge. I know that. I have a great coach that I work with who teaches challenges and she's just like, you got to do a challenge. And I'm like, I don't want to. We've never done challenges. We just incorporated the 5 days of coaching. I think previous to the 5 days of coaching, I was doing a lot more Facebook lives. So I was actually going live like every day of the week, pre-launch and like a few times a week for the few weeks before that. But it didn't have the interaction that I wanted. It was like, I was teaching, people saw me on video, they liked that. But I wanted people to actually experience what it was like to be in the program. So that's why we shifted from doing the Facebook Lives to doing the actual coaching. And then I think we've shortened the launch period for sure. It used to be 2 weeks and then it was like, I think 8 days. And then I was like, we're just doing Monday to Friday now. Mm-hmm. That's it. We used to do early bird. So we used to have like the first few days were early bird pricing and then it moved to regular pricing. I'm so curious your thoughts on that. I liked it, but then I was always worried that no one was going to buy at full price. it was never the case. People still did, but it got a little bit complicated for just messaging and our Facebook ads. There was too many moving pieces to have like the early bird and then switching. So now it's just one price and that's the price for the 5 days.
Well, I love that. I think you're asking me what I thought about that. I remember I had tried that a few years ago with some clients, like doing that early bird pricing, but it always felt not great because then like the other people who came in later, like if they found out, it felt like not really fair.
Yeah. And I don't like buying things if I'm like, oh, I just missed a $500 sale. Yeah. Like I don't want to buy that now.
I liked it better when it was around like maybe I missed out on like a PDF or something or like an extra group call. But I've been still moving farther away from like change, like from that, so that everything is mostly like whenever you join, you get all the stuff. Like you have everything you need. It does change things, but I think
we don't do like expiring bonuses during the 5 days or like the webinar bonuses. We do sometimes do an early bird sale months before the launch, like at least 2 months out, where we're like, if you know you want in, here's 48 hours, here's your chance, get in now, you'll save a few a few hundred bucks. And then once that's done, there's no more discounts on it. It's just,
I think that's different, especially if even like you've been doing this for a while and then people even know that maybe you're doing that. It's like kind of neat. Like it's expected, right? It's almost like some people have Black Friday things. We know that group is going to have like a Black Friday sale once a year. Yeah. I think the other thing that I have been doing with a few clients, which we've been liking, is when we open things up early, is that if they come in early, they get a couple extra group calls just because they're early, essentially, or they get like access to the first module or something like that a little bit early. So just trying to like incentivize like, for people who are excited.
Buy it now, get the discount, and you'll start when we all start in October.
That's amazing though. So how long have you been doing Facebook ads for as part of it?
We've been doing them well for the last 2-ish years. Yeah. Previous to that, we have an agency do them. I never touched them myself, but previously I was probably dabbling myself, or we had like maybe a VA doing them. And so we were doing them a little bit, but I don't think we had a great strategy around it. And now with the team that we work with, they've just launched with us so many times that it's like, they know all the pre-launch stuff. They know they have all the data from the last couple of ads. So they're definitely working better now, but we have been using them for a couple of years.
Great. What I really stood out to me is a few things that you said particularly, but like the fact that you're using the same things over and over again. I know it's a question that comes up sometimes when I talk to, like, I have a Launch Playbook club as well, membership for people who are like doing it themselves.
Yeah.
And that's a question that comes up. Like, when I write these emails, can I use them again? I'm always like, yes. Like, as long as you're bringing in also to like new audience, and but people can hear things over and over again, as long as it's not like every month you're sending the same thing.
Yeah. And and even twice a year, like we're about 6 months apart, sometimes less, sometimes 5 months between launches. And I'm like, oh, didn't I just send these emails? But we have to remember that most of the people that are, you know, because we're also running Facebook ads in between our launches, and then we're doing a big blast before our launch, it's like most of the people who are coming in are new and they haven't seen it. And most of the people on our list don't even read our emails. And if they do, they forget, and maybe they read one and they don't read the other one, then they read the next one.
Exactly.
So yeah.
Like I feel like it's very rare that everyone reads the entire email sequence. And if they do, it's probably because they've bought and now they're not going to get it again.
Yeah.
So I love how you like repeat and reuse. I think that's fantastic. Cause that's what I think about with like all this launch content we create. It's like a foundation. Ideally, we can use it again and again with just like some small tweaks.
Yeah. So this launch, I was like, should we rewrite the emails? And my director of operations was like, why? I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, why? I'm like, you're right. Why? We don't need to do that.
Yeah. I think you only need to do that if like
shiny object stuff, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But, or like if a story's changed significantly, or if it's like a really time, like if it doesn't make sense of the time anymore. Really,
yes.
Like,
we did edit everything during COVID, and actually our launch last March was scheduled to start literally like, okay, we're doing a webinar on Monday, the day that they closed down everything, where they're like, no one can go to work, no one can go to school, everything shut down, no one can leave the house. And I was like, should we still launch? And so we did have to go through that and do some last minute tweaks to like every email, just to, not huge, like same content, but just to add in like, hey, we know this is a weird time. Hey, like maybe you're not even working. We get that. You know, like we had to add in relevant messaging.
And how did that launch end up going? Like
that launch went okay. Mm-hmm. It went okay, actually. I had a bit of a higher goal than the previous launch, and we didn't hit the higher goal, but we got around maybe like just slightly less people register than the previous launch. So okay. It was not a total disaster like we thought it might be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Previous to launch week, we were like, oh my gosh, I don't know what is going to happen and how this is going to go. And I was like, it's okay. If it doesn't work, we'll just figure it out. But it went okay. It was actually the following launch in the fall of COVID 2020 was worse.
Yeah.
And I was trying to think about why that was, because it was two COVID launches, one right at the beginning when everyone was told you can't go to work, and then one in the fall. And I think the difference was the early one, people were like, oh man, like this is a crazy time, but like I should really get my business going. Right. Yeah. I think people sort of had that motivation of like, well, now is the time to get this started. And I think by the fall, everyone was just wiped out. Yeah. Like people are tired. Kids are home from school for however many months now. I don't have kids.
So long.
Yes. My family and friends who have kids were like, this is not okay. And I think it was just like people were just completely exhausted. And it definitely showed that was probably the trickiest launch I've ever had. Yeah.
Yeah. I've noticed that as well during the past year, like with launches at the beginning, it was a bit more, I want to call it normal, like in terms of what you'd expect. But I think there was like that fatigue hitting.
Yeah.
And they're like, when is this ending? And I can't do anything else or be online anymore.
Yeah. Well, now everything's lifting and we're launching again this fall. And I'm like, ooh, I wonder if we just launched a kind of a very small workshop this summer and registration was pretty low. And I was like, I think that people are just like, oh my God, I'm going to visit family. I'm going traveling. Yes. I'm going like no one is focused. So I'm very curious how this launch is going to go. I'm prepping for it not going as well as I would like because of just people being able to leave the house and go travel and go see their families and do things other than just sit on their computers and work and be depressed.
So when things actually don't go as well as you like during your launch, is there anything that you do or change in order to, let's say, put the effort in to try to, like, let's say, lift up the numbers you want or your goal?
Yeah, I'm always pretty actively involved. Like, I'm always kind of tweaking as we go in the launch. And so if it's not going as well, which to me really just means like the thing with launches is, you know, is you never really know until the cart closes how it went. Mm-hmm. And so on the last day, we could be at 50% of our numbers and then, you know, hit our goal by the end of the day. So it's like, but if it feels slow, if it's like Wednesday or Thursday and I'm like, this is like pulling teeth, like this is challenging, then I usually just do more live things. So sometimes I'll open up consult calls and I'll say like, hey, get on my calendar, come hop on a call and let's just talk it out. I do a ton of follow-up. Like I just follow up with everybody multiple times during launches. I have a fancy tracking sheet, which I literally just write on a piece of paper, people's names. No spreadsheets or anything. I just write who it is, where they were, like in the Facebook group, in this email thread, on the live chat, and then what their question was. And then I'd like have a check mark system where like I followed up with them once, twice. So I do a lot of that. And then I'll get a little bit sneaky with my email marketing system if things aren't going as well, where I'll go through and I'll look. We'll pull out like who is opening. Okay, this person's opened all the emails. Then I'll look and go, have I had a conversation with them? I haven't. Okay, so how can I reach out to them in a way that's not creepy to be like, hey, I see. And sometimes I just say that. I just say, hey, like creeping around in my email marketing. I saw you've been reading all the emails. I just wanted to see if we had any questions. And I'll just send personal emails to people like that based on kind of the behavior that I see them doing in the email marketing. So it's a little bit creepy. And I think some people don't realize you can do that, but it's great. And people love it. They're like, oh my gosh, you caught me. And then we get into a conversation about it.
That's great. And I think when we're straightforward too and say like, my email system tells me, so we just call it what it is, right? We're like, it's a bit creepy. It's a bit, we're sneaking around.
Yeah. I literally think the subject line for that email is like, hey, I saw you creeping. And people open it and they're like, sorry.
Amazing. Yeah. I also really, what stands out to me about your launches is that you, like the amount of connection that you have with the people that you want to work with. So, you know, I think when people think about launching, sometimes they think of like, it's so automated. And I'm sure it sounds like you have some automated things happening, your emails, but you're still so involved. Like there's access to you and you said the other coach. So like you have that chance for them to like experience what it would be like to work with you. And that 5 days I think is huge and powerful. And then like, the reaching out and the personal email and the fact that it's you behind that, I think is a huge, like a huge piece of probably why your launches do so well, because they get to actually like experience you.
Yeah. And I think that because my program is for new business owners and many of them have taken other programs where there's been thousands of people and they never even got to talk to the coach who was selling it. We don't run the program that way. Like we're actively involved. I'm on every call. I answer literally every question that they come with. I answer personally. So I like to mimic that in the launch because it's important to me that they, because that's really, I think, what makes our programs stand out is that we do give so much personal attention, and people are so used to programs that are more automated where they're not really talking to the coach. And so I just like to show them in the launch that like, I'm here, I'm listening, I'm following along. And they usually think, I mean, I have email threads of like, you know, 30 emails back and forth with people, and they eventually buy and they're like, thank you so much for actually just like taking the time to talk through it and chat about my fears and figure out if it was a fit. And selfishly, like, I want the right people in the program.
Of course. So yeah.
It's easier if I can talk to them and get some info about their business and make sure that they're the right fit, because it makes my job easier once they're actually enrolled.
Right. And then you know that they're going to probably get the transformation that they're looking for, right?
Exactly.
Because you know that they're the right fit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a big difference between a lot of other launches that happen, because that there is like, they're chatting with customer service, which is fine, but it's not the same as chatting with the person who's going to be coaching.
So we do sell the same program as a self-study in between our live launches. And I am like removed from that. It's a self-study. Yeah. There's no personal support. It's like, here's all the content, go and rock and roll it on yourself. And then our customer service team answers their questions. And so I do remove myself between launches, but during the live one, because I am teaching,
you're going to be
live,
running it live, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
And that's just not sustainable. Like I couldn't be doing that customer service.
Definitely not.
Yeah. Definitely not.
But it is nice to have that access to you. And I think, especially you're dealing with a lot of people in the early years of business, it might be something really new for them getting into this. So like,
it totally
they're not,
is. It'll be so funny because I'll get emails that are like, hey, I have questions about the program. Here's my phone number. Give me a call. Which is so funny, right? In the online business world, we're like, you don't call people. But like a lot of my students are like, you know, coming from corporate or working in like they're stay at home moms, and they're not in this weird online business world yet. And so it's normal to just be like, here's my phone number, give me a call, we'll talk about it. We don't, of course, we'll usually just send them to whatever is appropriate for the way to communicate with them. But people are so new to this. Yeah.
That's a really good example of how new. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. But that's why I think even more important, like you during the live time being there and talking to them, like, so they really can feel comfortable with like, what is this like maybe vague thing that I could be doing and investing my money in?
Yeah. And I mean, let's be honest, we've all seen coaching programs that are, the marketing is beefed up and it's quite shiny and it's quite fancy. And then students get in and like they get totally lost, or there's like thousands of people, and those programs are fine, but it's often just that people aren't registering for the right programs at the right time in their business. And so that's like one of my beefs and one of the things I can rant about of like coaches needing to just qualify their students better for these big programs. And so that's important to me.
Yeah, I agree. I've been on like, I've definitely been a student of one of those before where I thought it'd be different. I got in and there was like 600 people and no personal connection. I was like, this is definitely not like right for me.
Yeah. One of the questions I get asked the most when I launch is how many people are in the program? How many people are in the program? And I'm always like, I know you're asking that because you're worried you're not going to get personal attention. So here's the personal attention that you get, regardless of how many people are in the program. Here's exactly what you get. And then what I usually do, we usually enroll about 100 people because that's the most I can actively, you know, engage with and give feedback to. Then they're like, oh, that's nothing compared to the ones that have thousands.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Launch Playbook Club. It's a place for service-based business owners who want to launch a course, membership, or a group offer and are tired of trying to figure out all on their own. With weekly copy critiques and strategy calls for personal feedback, access to tech roadblock busting Q&A sessions, monthly training around six-figure launch strategies, and templates for all your launch copy needs, the Launch Playbook Club is your roadmap to accelerate the success of your next launch without burning out. Become a member of the Launch Playbook Club at www.sarahvartanian.com/launch-playbook. So I'm curious, what do you think business owners do need to have in place in order to make like this kind of simple launch or rinse and repeat launch successful? Anything they need to do?
They need to have an audience. It's really hard to launch without having already built up an audience. Like obviously we do build up a new audience through Facebook ads. And so if you don't have an audience, then you need to be okay with testing and possibly losing money on Facebook ads to build that up. It's just part of how it goes. I think that having an organic audience that you've built up is the best thing that you can do for launches. I've been building that up for 10 years. My audience is still, for 10 years, like it's still fairly small. Like I think our email list has like 10,000 people, 12,000 people. We like chop it in half regularly and, you know, cut off all the people who just are not opening emails. But having that and having the organic traction and just having been writing blog posts and having my Facebook community for so long, the Facebook ads help support that. But I don't think they'd work without having that organic community. So you really do need people to launch to. And ideally, and this is, I know there will be, you might even disagree. I'm curious. I know, because I've worked with coaches who disagree and they're like, no, you don't need to have a huge audience. You can build that up during your launch. I've never done it that way. I've always had the audience first and then started launching. So that's just always my preference and what I think is going to be easiest for people, or at least take less, it's less stress. It's not like this gamble of like, okay, I'm going to run all these Facebook ads and is it going to work? Like, you've already got a group of people who are hungry for what you have and like love your personality and love what you have to say and want to learn from you.
Yeah, I definitely agree that building an audience in between is really important and helps. I would say that I think it's okay to launch like to a little audience, but know that like your results, like the number you're going to roll are going to relate to that.
Yes, totally. Yeah. And I'm not saying you need thousands of people, like a couple hundred engaged people is great if you want to, you know, fill a program with a smaller number of people, but you're probably not going to get 500 people in your program from an audience of 500.
Like, we have to like just have our expectations match what our audience is probably. And then also, you know, once you've launched that audience, realize that you have to like keep growing it and you just can't launch the same number every single time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they've really already heard it over and over again. So that is something. And I think I know, yeah, I talk sometimes with some of the clients about like maybe even not doing Facebook ads at first, like just launching, like either reaching out to people they know personally, they maybe talked about working with in the very early days.
Yeah. I think you have to make sure that you're messaging is on point, that your like whatever your funnel is works, like that things convert organically before Facebook ads can work, or else you just again you have to be okay with putting in a lot of money and possibly losing it in Facebook ads. So it's one or the other.
And that's something you talk about a lot, right? Is like messaging, and the other thing I think was niching, like getting really specific.
Yeah, I do a lot of that work because a lot of my students are brand new and they're trying to figure out how to market themselves as a life coach, and they're kind of coming out as generic life coaches and don't quite have a strong message. And so we work a lot on that. Yeah.
And do you think that they need to have that in order to have that first sort of launch be successful? And what can they do to help it?
I think so. I think the niching work, like I think the clarity on what problem their program is helping people solve. People are probably sick of hearing people say that, but it's like, you need to know what problem your program is solving, and your clients need to know that they have that problem. And that's the piece that I work on a lot with my students. Cause for example, let's say we have a generic life coach that comes in and they're like, oh, well, my problem that I help people solve is that like they're not living authentically. And I'm like, cool. Do your clients know they're not living authentically? Like, probably not, right? So if you go out and you try to sell that, they're not going to buy it. So we have to take these sort of big ideas that at least I'm in like health coaching, life coaching, healers kind of have these like big ideas, but we really need to work to drill it down to something specific so that people know. Because if you think about, I always think about what I've spent money on, and it's always for a specific result. Like, it's never like, here's a nice idea, right? It's always like, I have a struggle in an area and this person really looks like they can help me. So we need to take our big ideas and distill them down into really clear niches and clear problems and clear results, especially when you're launching programs. Like one-on-one coaching, you can get away with being a little bit broader because you have that individualization. But in a launch, if you're launching a course or a program or a group program, then it does need to get more specific.
And so what are some of the ways that people can figure out what that promise is, or that thing that they're doing so well is?
Yeah, I think market research is the best thing you can do, which like I feel like we tend to think of as like, you know, for big companies that are creating a product, but it's the same. Like, you need to go and actually talk to people about the topic and get their language and figure out how they're talking about it and what kind of results like they're wanting, or what kind of outcomes they're wanting, things that they want in their life that they don't currently have related to that topic, what they've tried that hasn't worked. Because all of that then becomes your messaging and your point of view for your launch. And when you can use the same language as them, then it's, you can't miss the mark because they've literally said it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that makes my heart like just beat a little bit faster, because that's basically my favorite part of copywriting is, I'm like,
yeah, as a copywriter, yeah.
Right, if it's not landing, it's because there's something with the messaging. And like when you do that research, I'm like, your sales pages can literally write themselves. Like, you are pulling copy directly from what people have been telling
you. Yeah, and there's messaging of like, what's your message? Like, oh, it's all about like living your best life, whatever. But then there's like language.
Yeah.
Language and like tangibles, which I think is where a lot of people just, we write most, I would say, do you work with a lot of coaches? I just keep coming back to coaches.
I do.
A lot of my folks are coaches. Yeah. Most people become coaches because they have gone through some kind of transformation and they want to help people with the same. And so mm-hmm. they kind of just come from their own perspective and are using the language after they've already drank the Kool-Aid. Yeah. So we need to like go back to the language before they drank the Kool-Aid to figure out what they were struggling with and what their clients are struggling with, like before the coaching happened.
And you know, in our pre-chat, you were talking about how sometimes it's not a good idea to launch and like what you should be doing first. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, because I have a lot of students who will come and they're like, okay, I'm getting ready to launch my business. And I'm like, cool, what does that mean? And they're like, well, I'm going to like put my website out and like launch. And I'm always like, okay, so launching, like just to be very clear, launching to you means you're going to make your website live. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, and then what's going to happen? And they're like, I don't know. What else do I do? And I'm like, exactly. So I'm not a big fan of like launching a business unless mm-hmm. you're like, you know, Apple launching a new product and you have millions of people waiting for it. That's not the case for most of us. It's like we launch and we put our website on our Facebook page and our mom likes it and our friends are like, nice work. And then we're like, what do we do now? So I think a launch should really just be, I think a business launch, people can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes every time I say launch. I think a business launch should really be more about going and finding one client. You don't need a website. You don't need a Facebook page. You don't need an Instagram. You don't need a TikTok. You don't need any of that to actually go and start getting paying clients. And once you get a paying client, then you go and get another one, then you go and get another one. And then you start to see through those clients, that almost becomes your market research too, right? Because you're actually working with the people and you're going, oh, they actually are struggling over here. Or there's this like interesting thing coming up over here. And then you're in a place where you're like, okay, now I can write website copy. Now I can actually sort of tweak my packages to be more specific to these results. And then you can put it on the website. But even then, you're not really launching. You're just making it live. And then you're still going and doing all your marketing efforts that you need to be doing. So it's sort of more of a, I mean, I think we hear this all the time. It's like, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's not like we launch and then they come. It's like we set our website live and then we go and hustle our asses off to get people over to it and to tell them about our business and to get those clients.
Yeah. I love how you brought up getting clients like as one of the first things you really need to do. And I think even too, like when you're going to actually decide that one day like you want to launch that program, that once you've had the clients, you actually are more clear on like your process, what you're actually selling, the unique way you do things, yeah. so that you can actually then go and translate that to a program.
So many people jump to one, and I did this when I started my first business as a holistic nutritionist. I was like, I need a logo. I need a business card. I need a website. I need like a brochure. This is a long time ago. And I had that. I paid someone. They made me a logo. They made me whatever. It didn't get me any more clients. Like I still didn't know what I was doing. It was super generic. I had a website. I had to change everything after I started working with people because I was like, oh, this is not relevant. This actually doesn't make any sense. And so I think the website and the copywriting and all of that can easily come later. And if you need somewhere to just write up, you know, the outline of your program or what you're going to do with people, put it in a Google Doc. I've sold lots of programs through Google Docs.
Yeah, I see that happening all the time.
Yeah.
It works. So I'm opposite of you in the fact that when I started getting clients originally, like way back, I guess when I was still teaching, and it was like definitely a side hustle, I had a blog. It was a green living blog. It was called Green Moms Collective. And I started, like, I ended up reaching out to a couple of, like, people that I maybe want to work with. And I was like, because it was in the early days of Instagram. And I was like, hey, do you want some help with your Instagram? Like, writing the captions and, like, taking some of the photos of stuff. And they were like, yeah. So I, like, for a very long time, like, about 2.5 years, I just had clients from, like, either a little bit of reach out or, like, someone would tell mm-hmm. them about me. And I didn't have any website around that actual business until I finally started working with a business coach. And she was like, maybe, like, you'll reach more of your goals if you put a website
now
out there.
Time.
So you can
yes,
actually direct
I'm
people.
I'm all for websites, by the way. I think everyone should have a website. I think you should get it up sooner than you want. But I think that there is some pre-work that needs to go into that to make sure that the messaging and the niching is clear on that site. But you can always tweak it too.
Yeah. I think when we can put our ideas out there and we just start trying to work with people, we can kind of figure it out as we go too.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, you have to, because otherwise you spend all your time planning and prepping this. I see this all the time, and procrastinating and perfecting. And then you put it out there. And like, if it doesn't work, then it becomes this like, our business is over and we're going to be a failure and we have no self-worth and we make it this whole thing. And it took us probably way too long to actually get it out there in the first place. So we just start.
And I think that applies to launches too, right? Like the faster we can get it out there and test it, doesn't have to be all fancy in the beginning and
I'm
be
all
simple.
About a beta launch.
Yeah.
Like go and grab 5 people, let them know you're doing it for the first time. You want some feedback. You want to make some tweaks. mm-hmm. knock half off the price, get them in the door, run the damn thing. Yeah. And then you can like get more prepared to launch for next time once you've actually just done the program once.
Yeah, I agree. There's like nothing like using Zoom and like a Dropbox folder or Google folder even to like give them the stuff. It totally works.
That's still what we do for our program. And we sell $200,000 launches.
Right,
all our worksheets are in Google Docs. Our calls are on Zoom. Our webinars on Zoom. We don't use any webinar software or like lead pages or ClickFunnels. We don't use any of these things. We just have like literally a page on our website. We use a Zoom link. It's very simple.
Yeah, I'm the same. I use Zoom link. I use just like page on my website. I do have Kajabi, so we do have our stuff in the Kajabi membership.
Yes, we do have a membership platform. Yeah,
but all the documents, because it's copywriting, like they get like copywriting templates, they're all in Google Docs.
Yeah.
So when I dig into it, I find there's usually something really unexpected or unusual that worked really well to make a launch successful. So thinking back to one of your recent launches, what's something sort of unique about your process, or maybe something that actually worked for you that you didn't expect that was going to work, like something kind of different?
I think like for me, it's always been the personal follow-up. So it's not necessarily new or unexpected, but it's like, if I look at the numbers, actually we had a challenging launch. What is it now? It's spring. So last fall launch was the most challenging I've had. It felt like pulling teeth. I was like, we used all the same messaging. We did everything the same. And I was like, this is just not working. And I would say that I think we enrolled maybe 75 or 80 students. So we didn't hit our goal of 100, but most of them, like, I don't even know what percentage, more than half of them enrolled after multiple follow-ups. Like if I hadn't been in that email communication, checking in on people like consistently, we would have probably ended with like 50 people registered instead of 80. And so it just like the power of that personal attention and following up just always is amazing to me. And I have, you know, I know people who are like, don't follow up, don't chase people, like they'll buy if they want. And I'm like, no. And it's not about pushing them, but it's just like continuing the conversation. And most of those people always thank me. And they're like, thank you so much for just continuously checking in and like giving me time and answering my questions. Like they appreciate it. So I'm not talking about like pushy follow-ups, but yeah, that continues to work well. And I always just think of my favorite sales coach, Kendrick Shope, who's like 80% of sales are closed in follow-up. And I'm like, that is 100% true for our launches. We see it round after round, and especially the challenging ones.
And what could you tell people who are maybe reluctant or have something going on in their mind, maybe some like mind trash around like that following up and like what it says, or if it feels pushy, or all those things that are rolling through their head around it?
I like to think of myself and how I buy things. And if I like sent an email to someone, if I sent an email and asked a question to someone about a program and they replied and answered it, and then I got busy, or I read their email while I was like, you know, getting in my car, and then I was like, I'll look at that later. And then I forgot. I love it when they send me another email and they're like, hey, I just want to check in. Here's my last email. Do you want to have a chat about it? I'm like, oh my God, yes. Like I really appreciate the reminder because I got busy and I forgot. Or like I was maybe on the fence, and the fact that they were like, hey, I care about this, I want to make sure your questions are answered, gave me like that little nudge to be like, oh yeah, I do want to do this thing. So I appreciate it. So I think if we look at like how we are with those things, like if somebody, and then that's much different than a follow-up going like, are you ready to buy? Here's the button. Like, that's not what we're talking about. I think it's just doing a service for your clients. People are busy. No one has time to like read every email and remember to do all the things. And so I think it's just nice to help them like nudge them along with a little check-in. And if it's a hard no, they get an X on my little piece of paper and I don't follow up them anymore.
Move on,
it's totally
right?
fine. Yeah. But usually if they've reached out to you, it's because they had an interest. And so I think just remembering that we're not shoving this thing down people's throats. Like they asked us a question and we're like making sure that they're getting the answers that they need to make a decision.
So it's more around the idea that you're taking care of them and helping them feel like supported to make the decision, yes or no.
Totally. Yes. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. Like not making it mean something that it isn't. Like it's not, it doesn't mean, you know, that you're, it doesn't mean that you're pushy. It doesn't mean anything. It's like, it's all in service and of value, and that you back away when it's time.
Kendrick, you must know Kendrick.
I've heard,
Yeah. She's got a whole bunch of sales tools that she teaches, and some are more, I don't want to say pushy, but like they're a little bit more aggressive than others. And like, I pull those out sometimes. Like there's some students where I'm like, they need a little bit of tough love right now, and I'm just going to give it to them. And they, and I can always, I've just been doing this for so long that I can read that of like what is needed. And even that, even when I'm like, listen, I'm just going to give it to you straight here. Like, here's what I think. Like they super appreciate it. You have to read your audience, but even the pushier times, you know, where I'm like, I am like pushing people, but it's, I can tell that it's what they need. And it's always, the decision is always up to them. It's never, I'll never be on the phone with someone getting their credit card or being like, okay, so just get it right now or go get that bank loan. Like that's, it's not that, but it's more just about being in service of them and seeing that you have a solution for them to a problem that they have. And so why wouldn't you remind them of that?
And do you ever tell them that it's not the right fit? Have you ever had
all
those conversations?
Time, yeah. Yeah. I tell people all the time, especially because my program's for new business owners. Mm-hmm. They can be too new where they don't even have a business idea. And they're like, I don't know what I want to be. And I'm like, cool, you can't join. Or sometimes they're too far along and they need like more specific strategy or copywriting or something like specific. And I'm like, this is more foundational if you're brand new versus if you're already making 100K and you're looking to like scale up with a membership, like that's not what we're going to teach you. Yeah. So, and then there's people who I can just tell have a lot of mindset issues. And I'll sometimes, I won't turn them away, but I'll kind of steer them towards not signing up. I'm like, because I'm like, the program's going to be hard for you if we can't work past this. We do have a mindset coach, but like, we're not here to like talk forever about your imposter syndrome week after week after week. Like we need you to be doing things. And if you're not willing to actually take the actions, then you're probably not going to get a good result. So it's up to you, but just know that like, we're going to be pushing you in the program. And so then I kind of leave it on the table, for them. And half the time they sign up and they're like, okay, you're right. I do need action. And sometimes they just can tell that they're not ready.
Yeah. I'm thinking about these calls that you have with people too, and like these follow-ups, and it was reminding me. So I recently in end of June, like finished a launch for my program, and someone had reached out thinking about joining, and I like asked a few more questions, and if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have realized that she wasn't right for it actually.
Yes.
Right. Like, yep. So that's where I think it is really service. Like it ends up, she has a brick and mortar. And I don't really work with brick and mortar people. Like you could apply some of the stuff to it, but like
totally,
there's probably something way better out there for you.
Yeah. Same thing as sometimes I'll get product businesses or brick and mortar and I'm like, you could use some of it, but it's not going to be the best thing. And I get that info through asking them questions. And so the follow-ups aren't just like, are you ready to buy? They're right. Like, hey, like I'd love to learn more about your business. Can you answer these 5 questions? Like how many clients have you worked with? Have you done this? Have you done that? Cause I want to get a sense of like what they've actually done to make sure that my program is going to work for them.
Yeah. Cause I think in the end, like what you really want, right, is like people to come in and have a good experience and get what they paid for and get what they want.
Write me a great testimonial. It's all selfish. Exactly. Like I want a testimonial at the end. I want you to get results. So So it's not just like get anybody in and who cares. Cause that's not good for my program or my reputation. Or
absolutely.
My business.
So speaking of that, how do you measure the success of your launches?
I put sticky notes on my door. I put sticky notes for how many students I want and I write their names as they enroll. And so it's not the best way to track because it's like sort of irrelevant. It's like sometimes people buy an upsell and then they pay more. And so it's like, we're not really looking at, we do look at total revenue and everything, but that's my way during launches, just to kind of like keep myself engaged and excited about it, is to like write their names on their sticky notes. And then I like take a little picture of it and put it on Instagram and do a little happy dance. So that's how I track the success. Mm-hmm. And if my sticky notes don't feel like it's sad, so it's probably not the best way. But we do look at like we pull all our numbers for our like total revenue and how many people paid in full versus payment plans. Like we've had more people shifting to paying in full, which I think is really interesting. Mm-hmm. So yeah, a couple ways like that. And I think there's the general feeling that I have too, which is not really super measurable or accurate, but it's like there's just this last launch felt amazing. I was like, people are just interested. I feel like we're having great conversations. It doesn't feel hard. I'm like filling up my sticky notes and it's feeling good. Versus one that feels like I was pulling teeth and it was hard, even if we got the same number of students. So just sort of the general ease.
So it's like your energy and that.
Yeah.
And so then how do you bring in clients or work with people between your launches? You mentioned that your program goes kind of into an evergreen mode in between.
Yeah, it goes into an evergreen self-study funnel. And so we rely heavily on Facebook ads for that, which we're moving away from. We're starting to do more organic marketing. It's the exact same program. It just doesn't have any of the live support or live elements at all. Because some people don't even want that. They're like, just give me the content. I'm good.
Yeah.
So that's through a funnel and we come through. So we don't work with anyone live in between our launches.
In the evergreen funnel, like what's the first step of that funnel?
It's through a webinar, the same webinar that I do live for the launches.
Perfect.
Which is pre-recorded, again, reuse. Usually if we're running ads, they'll come in first through like some warm-up ads, like a Facebook Live I did or a blog post or something, and then we'll get them into the webinar. And then it's a 5-day funnel where we're sending them emails and just additional content. And then they can still buy the program after that 5-day funnel ends. The price just goes up. So it's sort of like a fast action. That's where we do a kind of a get in early, we'll knock $300 off. Otherwise you can buy it and here it is. So it's all, the program's always available.
Right.
Yeah.
Amazing. And if you could give just one piece of advice to our listeners about launching, what would it be?
It would be to beta launch, I think. I think it would be to beta launch. If it's someone who's just getting started with launching, I would say, and what that means to me is just like a really simple launch where you go and find 5 to 10 people who are like already in your world, past clients, people that you know, and just get them in and run your program with them. And because that's just going to be the best way for you to, first of all, test your program. Like if you haven't tested your program yet, I guess that's more program testing than launching, but it's kind of all the same. If you haven't actually yeah. run your program yet, you want to test it because it's going to give you confidence so that when you sell it in your actual launch, you're going to be like, nope, here's the results we get. You're going to feel amazing about it and you're going to have testimonials. You can use those folks as case studies. You can bring them in during the launch, do a Facebook Live with them to share about their results. So I think like that sort of low pressure beta launch is the best way to get a lot of your launch content kind of ready for the next time and get the social proof and the testing and all that stuff done. And just take the pressure off. Like if it's your first launch, there's nothing worse than when I see people who are like, I'm launching and they've never run the program and they've maybe haven't even sold anything and they're gearing up for this whole big thing and they've got these complicated funnels and these webinar systems and then like it doesn't work. And I'm like, it's such an easier way for you to do this when you're starting.
Yeah, for you to test it and figure it out.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Slow and steady up to like a more complex launch.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Rebecca. Will you tell us about how we can work and connect with you?
Yeah. I have a Facebook group that's great. It's called Uncaged Lifers. Anyone's welcome to join. Lots of new businesses in there who come and ask questions and also lots of more established businesses that like to give answers. So it's a great place to just come and get some free help. And then my website is theuncagedlife.com. You can go and poke around.
Amazing. I will put all of those links, of course, in the show notes. Thank you again for joining us. It was so much fun to talk to you about launching and hearing the way that you approach it.
Thanks. I love launching.
Amazing. Thanks for tuning into the Launch Playbook podcast. If you want to get weekly launch secrets in your ears, I hope you'll hit subscribe on iTunes so you'll never miss an episode. Because who knows? It could reveal just the thing you've been looking for to make your next launch a success. And be sure to leave a 5-star review on iTunes telling me how this episode inspired your launch plans. Until next time, keep putting your big ideas out into the world. I'm rooting for you.